To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio of the Working Class, by the Working Class, for the Working Class. I'm Jamie Partridge, your host. My co-host, Laura Wadlin, is on strike with the PCC Faculty Federation and the Federation of Classified Employees. She's a part-time faculty member there, and along with over 2,000 co-workers at the four PCC campuses, Sylvania, Southeast, Cascade, and Rock Creek, serving over 80,000 part-time, full-time, for-credit, not-for-credit students, the largest university higher education system in Oregon, PCC, two unions, faculty and academics, and classified, are on strike, the first community college strike in Oregon history, and very intelligently, the two major unions have lined up their contracts, and after, gosh, must be a year of bargaining and getting nowhere with the latest college administration offer was, I think, 0.5% increase. No changes to understaffing and cuts to programs. And as one of the leaders of the strike has said, the colleges workers are and students are facing an existential moment where the college is dying because cuts are being programs are being cut, and students are leaving because, for example, the music and sonic arts program, which has produced tremendous professional musicians and musical technicians, is been cut. The writing 101, for example, recently had a 500 student waiting list, which means that could have been dozens of classes of writing 101, which is basic. Basic stuff. So the university needs funding. The governor needs to call a special session to tax the rich and fund education. But meanwhile, the cuts and understaffing can't be taken out on the backs of the workers, and they've gone on strike as of the 11th of March. And at the time of these interviews on the picket line of the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, the strike was 5 days old. So here we have on the picket line at the Cascade campus, and then interviews with first one of the instructors, then a number of students who are there in support, as well as a community member there in support. So now I'm here talking with
Mary Ann Funk.
And what's your role here at PCC?
I'm an instructor in the multimedia department, and I teach several classes over there. I've been here since 2020.
And how do we know each other?
We actually know each other from way back in the day with Portland Tenants United, and then also just constantly connected to each other through all of, like, the advocacy work that we've both have been out there doing.
So
you, definitely.
We're in the struggle. You're in the struggle.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Why are you out here today?
You know, I'm out here to support all of us here, because of right now we're just looking for a raise, right, to kind of help compensate for those things that we're also not paid for. I mean, I know there's a lot of different reasons, but when we're teaching, we're only paid for the time we are face-to-face, not all the work that goes in beforehand, prepping the classes, and all the work that goes into giving feedback. And I like to do that. I give a lot of feedback. And when you've got sometimes 30-plus students, you want to make sure you always can do that, you know?
So are you part-time or full-time?
I'm a part-time instructor, yeah. part-time.
What is it about part-time that makes it difficult to get by and survive?
Sometimes you don't always get the classes, and so like up until recently I was teaching right around 3 classes on average. Then this next term is down to 2, and then in the summer there will be 1, thankfully, but it's got to fill up too. So if a class doesn't fill up, then you don't teach.
How do you pay the rent?
Not easily. My husband's on Social Security, and it's not always easy, you know. We've gone through a lot of savings this year to cover stuff, to get by.
So. But you're here on the line. Why is that important?
You know, I got to think about that for a second, because when I think about what's important and I'm looking down this row that you can't see through verbally, but there's like this huge line of people that are all out here connected together, standing with each other. And I feel like that's so important that we are supportive of one another. You know, there was a time when there started being this push for one school model. But you know what? It's really all the professors, teachers out here who are really making that possible. And not just the teachers, the people who work here as well. And I think that's important to be here for community, for each other.
So you, what do you think about the mood here on the line? How are people feeling?
You know what? There's a lot of excitement. Like when I've gone around taking some photos today, there's just people hugging. There's people excited. When you hear the cars coming by and honking, you know, you got community support as well, which has been really good. And I think that lifts up a lot of spirit, because when you're at home, it's kind of sometimes you feel isolated, and now you're out here with this. And so that's also one of the reasons I came out to take photos today. And I'm also recording audio with in-ear binaural microphones, because there's a lot of people who can't be here because they have to be at home just because they can't make it out physically. And this is a way we can kind of connect them to it as well.
Well, there are a lot of us that are alumni of PCC, and PCC serves 80,000 students, the largest higher education institution in the state of Oregon. And so how do you think the community is responding to this? How is Portland responding to this? Do you have a sense?
You know what? I have a sense that most of the community is responding well. You know, every once in a while you read a comment that's not so nice, but I think that sometimes I don't fully understand everything that goes into what we do here. And the amount of people that are able to come to this school because it was affordable, right? And I know even that cost has gone up for a lot of students. But when you're cutting classes and cutting programs, you know, a lot of those students are going to miss out. And community college is one of those colleges where it's like, it should be there for like everybody. It isn't just the highest elite. You know what I mean? So it's
how do you respond to people who say, well, this is just hurting the students?
You know, I think a lot of times I would say, it's important to talk to them, because when I spoke out in class to let people know what was going on and that it would be, that I wouldn't be connecting, which was really difficult, Jamie, I'm not gonna lie. I'm very much about connecting with my students all the time, and it's really difficult not to, but I also understand the importance of what we're trying to do here and keep these programs going. And so I think for some of them, it's kind of hard for me to answer that one, to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you.
It's hard to say we're shutting down the schools to improve the situation for students, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Plus, it's one of those things, too, that, you know, I think about, it's easy sometimes to not know anybody and make those kind of comments out there, you know? Or, I mean, I've read comments, too. It's like, get to work, get to these things. And I think this is work. This is connecting and making sure we're going to be able to continue to do what we do here.
What do you think about how the administration is responding to this strike?
You know, I'm sad, really. I am, because we really help this school keep going. You know, we're helping students get through the programs that they're getting through. And we're on the ground level, and we deal with a lot of students that have struggles. You know, they go through hardships, and they need extra care and extra help through what they're doing. And we spend a lot of time doing that. And, you know, you're going to do it, but it's like there's value in that. And I'm sad that they don't see that that has value. That makes me feel sad that they don't want to provide more for us to continue to do what we do as well. Because there's a lot of students we help.
So how can the community support you? How can we get... get the administration to move? What do you think?
I think a lot of it is, one, coming out in support. So you've got a lot of people out here that I know aren't instructors and don't work for PCC. They're out here. But I think writing to legislation, writing to the campus, you know, making their voices heard as well in support of us in the school and the teachers and the students, because it is about the students as well.
I've been hearing, of course, the administration says, oh, there's no money. But if Sheena Kotick would call a special legislative session to tax the rich and fund education. I've heard that at the rally last Saturday, a week ago, right? What do you think about that?
Well, first, I think it is important to tax the rich. And I think that it's important not to say, well, we can't tax them because then it doesn't trickle down. And I'm like, it's not trickling down. There's nothing trickling down. And it's like, you know, how did they get to where they are without education? And I've seen the education department get gutted this entire last couple of years. And I just feel like there's got to be more respect and care for the teachers and the students who are part of it. And I think it's important to tax those that are making the most money in our communities, right? And just giving back. I'm not asking them to pay like gobs of money and gobs of money. It's just more like, it's got to be a fair share. It's got to be something that gives back to the community as well, right? It's not the people that are down below that are the problem. It's like you gotta give back, you know?
Do you have any final words for the listeners of KBOO Labor Radio?
Yeah, I do want to say, one, thank you to everybody who listens to this channel, because it is a community-based channel. And I want to say thank you for the support that you have shown to us. And to anyone out there that's gone to PCC before, we'd love to hear from you, you know, and connecting and stuff like that, too. So, yeah.
Very cool. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you just tuned in, you've been listening to KBOO Labor Radio interviews on the Portland Community College strike line. If you find this information useful, support us at this non-corporate community radio station. Go to kboo.fm and make a donation. So we're talking right now with?
Shantae Creech.
Shantae Creech, and what's your connection to PCC?
I am a gerontology program alumni. As you know, our program was closed, and I'm also a current student.
Oh, all right. You're here a student at PCC.
Yes.
What are you studying?
I'm studying addiction counseling certification. I want to merge my gerontology with addiction counseling and serve as an addiction counselor for older adults.
People like me.
Absolutely.
All right. So you got this amazing sign here.
Yes.
Tell us what it says.
Dr. Bennings's Wall of Shame. And it's full of several that I could fit on the board, facts about the disgusting behavior, the way she's treated her staff and faculty and students, and how it affects us.
Say a little bit more about that.
It's disheartening. I came here from Washington, D.C., to join with this gerontology program. I believe in what the gerontology program built and what it is. The community at PCC has been so inviting and accepting. I mean, I feel like I've been here the whole time. And just to see the way that the campus has run with cutting our programs, cutting classes, it actually forced retirement on one of our professors as they brought down a new rule when they cut our program that you have to live in Oregon to teach in Oregon. An online program, you have to live here. So it ended his over 30-year career, Professor Mike Faber. And then to see that you're cutting programs, you're not paying your teachers. Where's the money going? Where's the money going? Teachers fight for us. My teacher, I had the confidence to come from D.C. because of faculty who believed in me and gave me that confidence and boosted me up and supported me. You know, Jenny Sasser has been amazing. She calls me friend and I call her friend. And we're here to fight. If you're not going to pay your teachers, why would you pay yourself like that? Why would you give yourself a 2.5% COLA and you can't even match that for your faculty and staff? What's going on here? What's the real thing going on here? It's greed. It's administrative bloat. That's the truth. And I'm here to fight until my community here at Community College gets the fair COLA they deserve. They're not asking for an outrageous number, a fair number.
And tell us about how the administration has been responding to this strike. You were just telling someone, I heard you.
Yes, the union busting has been beyond disgusting. I know that's the chant, what's disgusting, union busting. But to use the school's emergency broadcasting system to announce school closure as if it was an active shooter or something like going on. No, you're just union busting. You don't want the optics, but we're still here. You didn't stop anything. To use the student trustee to gather information about how this is affecting you in the negative way, in an effort to try to blame faculty for using their collective power. Have you been bad faith bargaining the entire time and holding up negotiations? We see it. We've been getting bombarded as students with emails for weeks framing a 0.35% COLA as a positive thing. None of the emails she sent includes what she gave herself and what she paid her administration. None of that's in the email. But you send out all these emails to confuse students that we've offered in good faith 0.35. Yay! 0.35, I wouldn't even take that on a car loan. Like, what are you talking about? That's nothing. That's nothing to offer someone in an economy that is doing like 3% inflation. No way. No way.
And so how are your student, are other students responding to the strike?
Because she decided to shut down operations and have online, it's challenging to connect with other students. You usually will see everybody online, on campus. But before she shut down the campus, we've been collecting, we've been gathering, we've been uniting still, despite all the efforts to keep us separated. People are not stupid. Students are not stupid. We see, we know. And I think she just took that, she took away our classes, cut our programs and funding. I think it just looked like we wouldn't unite, but you were wrong. Because we screamed and it wasn't screaming into a void. It was echoed and reflected by other students, and we connected, and we're unified, and we won a vote of no confidence. We have the ASPCC on our side. They voted no confidence. We want her out. We want her out.
All right.
And she can take out the rest of the board with her. They can just all go.
The mood on the picket line seems pretty good today. What do you think?
I love it. I was here. It was raining on Thursday, and I was like, it's live out here. But now that it's not raining, it's way liver. Like, everyone comes out rain or shine in Portland. I learned that quickly moving here from D.C. Rain doesn't stop no show. And I'm just excited that it's a good turnout like this. I'm sure it's like this at all the other campuses. I've heard that Portland is a union town, and you guys are teaching me and showing me what that means.
So how do you think this is, what impact do you think this is having on the community, on Portland?
I think it's because it's unprecedented. There's never been a strike. And I think it's waking people up. It's waking people up to an institution that has impacted this community. There are so many people who are like, I'm a PCC alum. Wait a minute, what's going on over there, you know? And it's just like waking people up to the treatment that's been going on and the way this facility, this institution has been, it's been dwindling down and it's starting from the top. You know, people are like, I went there and I got, you know, great instruction from my faculty there. What's going on over there? Now it's like waking people up to see like the injustices that are going on.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say to the listeners of Labor Radio?
Oh, union busting is disgusting.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
You have a good one.
You too. So I'm here on the line talking with carrying a sign that says admin is failing students, talking with
Grace Dietschold.
Grace is wearing also a Starbucks Workers United t-shirt. What's the connection, Grace?
Yeah, so as a student and as a Starbucks barista, a member of a union store, it was important to me to get out here today to show both my support as like a fellow union member and as a student.
And you were on strike, were you? Or
I was one of the stores on strike. I was out for 6 weeks.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing, very, like, united experience. I got to meet so many other baristas on strike, so many powerful union members. We got to take a trip up to Seattle to go to Starbucks headquarters and have a really powerful rally over there. It was a fantastic experience.
And it was quite a sacrifice to do that, right? I mean, quite a struggle to get through that, huh?
It was, yeah. Money was definitely tight for a while, but it's worth it in the end to show solidarity and to advocate for our rights as workers.
So why are you out here on this picket line?
Like I said, as a student and as a fellow union member, I wanted to be out here, show my support. My teachers have really like guided me through this educational process. Working full time and being a student is really challenging, and I could not have done it without my teachers, who have showed me endless grace, endless support. And it's important to me that they get paid a livable wage, just like everybody else.
And you know something about the sacrifice that it takes to go on strike, and then here you are as a student also sacrificing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely made the end of semester a little challenging, but that is on administration for not even being willing to provide the bare minimum for its teachers. So it's worth the sacrifice as long as the teachers are able to make some movement here, which I believe they are. They're strong.
So how do you think the students are generally responding? I don't know what kind of contact you've had with other students, but how do you think they're responding to the strike?
Yeah, I haven't encountered any students who are feeling negatively towards their teachers. I've encountered a lot of frustration with administration, something that I'm feeling myself. But we all know that our teachers want what's best for us, and we want what's best for them.
Well, how is the administration responding to this? What are you seeing?
I've been getting quite a few emails that I have not appreciated the tone of. I got one from just like administration generally that was talking about how, quote, disappointed they were in how this had turned out. And I was quite frustrated by that, because I'm frustrated. Like, I'm disappointed too, but not in our teachers, in the administration.
Is that something similar to the things that the Starbucks management was putting out to baristas and to the public?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it's all union busting. It's just another strategy to try to, turn the community against the teachers, which I have no patience for.
Cool. Do you have anything else to say to our listeners, our union siblings that listen to KB, to Labor Radio?
Union strong, support each other. It's all about community. We've got each other's back.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm out here talking with
Kaylee Roll, registered nurse,
who's here with her hot dog.
My hot dog's name is Elaine, and we are out here on the PCC strike line in support and in solidarity with the PCC faculty and staff who are on strike for better wages and better learning environments for students. And when workers stand together, we are stronger. So
you're a registered nurse. What do you know about strikes?
Well, we were on strike with the Providence ONA strike last year for 46 days, out on the line for safer staffing, for better wages, for better patient conditions in order to take care of our community. And so, we built some serious solidarity on that line. The bonds that were formed from that strike lasted up until now, through into the future, I hope. And so it sounds like some similar bonds are being formed on this line, and so that's just always so inspirational to see. And anytime I can come out to a strike line, I try to get out there. So.
Well, I understand that the bonds that were formed and the solidarity that came out of that strike produced a transformation of your union.
Yeah.
In fact, I interviewed a few of you on your way.
Right.
Say something about that.
Yeah. So I think it really did inspire quite a few more people to kind of step up into leadership, which I think is fantastic. The more people that want to step up and get involved, the better, and sort of give our members a more democratic process to be able to choose the leadership. And so, yeah, our strike was definitely a transformative moment for our union, and we're hoping to make some changes within the union so that our members are kept more informed, and that we can continue to give our members, a more democratic say in our leadership.
When people are out here not working but on the line talking with each other and sharing stories, it's a little hard to say, oh, the union is over there.
Right. Yeah.
What is it about strikes?
Yeah, I think strikes really give members, show members that we are the union, right? Like, it's not, you know, us over there and our union is somewhere making decisions for us. Like, it really is us. We are the ones that are making the decisions. We are the ones that are doing the actions and doing the work together. And so I think you're totally right. Strikes are really, really good for that, for sure.
So I noticed you have a Democratic Socialist of America t-shirt on. I've noticed a few people out here with DSA t-shirts. What's that about?
Yes, well, I am a DSA member as well, and so we definitely believe that if we're taxing the rich, then many of our workers will have better conditions, and in this case, students will have better learning environments. I'm talking while also corralling the dog, so.
You're doing great.
But yeah, taxing the rich worker solidarity and stopping worker exploitation in the name of profits is kind of universal. And so, yeah, it's a big one for sure.
And so how you're out here, what would you say to other members of the community, particularly our labor union siblings who are listening to this show, about what they can do to support this strike and this struggle, this working class struggle?
Yeah, I would say try to make it out to a line if you can. The bonds formed within the unions is on the strike line is fantastic, but also inter-union solidarity and inter-union relationships are formed on these lines as well. It's always so nice, I know as someone who has been on strike, to see members of other organizations and other unions standing in solidarity with you. Just it gives you a sense of like warmth and comfort. And you know, it's like I said, it's one thing to see your own union members on the line with you and building those bonds, but to build the bonds within other unions is just really transformational. And I think if we're going to continue to build power together, those bonds can really be useful for us in the future.
Great. Anything else you want to say to our labor union siblings listening to the radio show?
Solidarity forever.
Thank you, Kaylee. That wraps it up for this week's labor radio session. We've been interviewing pickets on the PCC strike line at the Cascade campus. I'm Jamie Partridge here with Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.